It's time for CEO Spotlight Radio with your host, Howard Fox. CEO Spotlight Radio brings the voices of today's best and brightest chief executives to the airwaves. On CEO Spotlight Radio, you'll learn what makes these industry leaders tick and how they stay sharp and ready for anything. You'll hear the secrets behind how they motivate and inspire others, and the powerful strategies that keep their organizations on the competitive edge. And now, your host, Howard Fox.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Howard Fox. I do want to welcome you to this cold Wednesday in Chicago. We're about ready to have a snowstorm, but we are going to warm it up today because we've got some really hot guests for you. The goal for this show is to really talk to our CEOs, our founders, our business owners, really about what makes them tick. How do they lead, inspire, and motivate? And I'd like you to think of this show as your personal coaching and mentoring session. We've got some great insights and great guests today. And the first one to tee up is Joe Eppy. Joe, I'd love to welcome you to the show. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. Now, Joe, I know you're not in Chicago, so tell us where you're from and tell us a little bit about the Eppy Group.
Well, so Chicago actually has a near and dear place in my heart, actually, because I went to school in Ohio. I was born and raised in Ohio, in Canton, Ohio, the Pro Football Hall of Fame city. And we used to road trip from Ohio State up to Chicago for Northwestern games when I was in college. So always had a lot of fun times and fun memories in Chicago. But I have since transplanted to South Florida and live and work right in downtown Fort Lauderdale, which is, you know, one of the probably fastest growing, most international developing spots in the country, because we're the only city in the country that has an airport and a seaport that touch each other. So they've added an extra port at the airport just for cargo planes, and they've dredged the port so that they can get the biggest cargo boats in, and international business and international people are relocating to downtown Fort Lauderdale because of that unique situation.
You know, I've spent a little time in Fort Lauderdale, and I have an aunt lives in Hollywood, which if I recall, it's right next door. Good memories of Florida, just the walking down the street picking up coconuts. But speaking of, you know, Florida, and you know, I'd love to share with our listeners a little bit more about the Eppy Group and really what are some of the leadership challenges that are going on with, you know, building a successful business, keeping it there, and your vision. I mean, there's been a lot of churn in the economy. You know, people are changing jobs. We've got new kids coming on. You know, tell us a little bit about the Eppy Group and about your style.
Really interesting, Jim, and that is vision. Right. That's the word you hit on that is so crucial. You know, people go through life one of two ways. They either strategize their way through life or they're reactionary. And most of us are trained to be reactionary. You know, we wake up in the morning and you woke up this morning and you looked outside. Oh, my God, we're going to have a snowstorm. I better dress warm. Right. And so we react to everything instead of strategizing out and planning ahead. And the most successful businesses out there obviously strategize their, you know, what's off. So, you know, in any business, the challenge I see today is growth. And if you're going to have growth today, I think you have to be able to hire from the newest generation out, which today is the millennials, because they're going to have the latest in technology. They're going to have, you know, things that they can teach us. I think the biggest mistake we make as business owners and as leaders is we try to manage instead of trying to lead, and we try to teach instead of coach. And I think those are major shifts that business owners have to take today if they're going to get growth to their business. But if you're going to hire millennials, you better go out and understand them. And I fortunately am a graduate. I have a master's degree from the School of Hard Knocks of millennials because I raised two of them and I have to hire lots of them. So,
what have been some of your lessons learned with working with millennials that really kind of help our audience understand the challenges?
I think there's a lot of myths about millennials. I think a lot of people feel that millennials are lazy, and that they're an entitled generation. And part of that is true. Part of the entitled generation is true, but that's not their fault. You know, neither of my sons came to me ever and said, you know, Mom, Dad, here's how I want to be raised. My wife and I chose how we raised our sons. And when we sent them off to college, we told them that they could, you know, not have to get a job, that they could, you know, enjoy themselves but get good grades. And if they wanted to join a fraternity, fine, you know. It was a growth and development time in their life. And halfway through my oldest son's five-year plan of going through college instead of on a four-year plan, he vocalized at a family dinner, and you know, my 93-year-old grandmother was even sitting there, that, you know, what would be my hurry, Dad? You're paying for everything and I'm having the time of my life. And he was right. Right? You just don't vocalize those things. So millennials are not lazy, but they want to participate. So they don't want to be told what to do. That's why if I ever say in front of my sons that they work for me, oof, that could lead to violence. So, you know, millennials, like with a millennial, you want to give them the goal and let them go figure it out. You know, the millennials that I'm supported by, I have three people that support my personal efforts, and two of them are millennials. And they do the bulk of the support for me. And if I give them a project and just tell them what the goal is, I see them stay to 7, 8 o'clock at night working on that. So the myth that millennials, you know, are lazy is just absolutely not the truth. Now, do these same people want to leave here, you know, at a reasonable time on Friday so they can get to their weekend? Absolutely, right? And you just have to have an appreciation for that. And the other thing with millennials is they hate to be sold. And frankly, most people don't like to be sold. We all love to buy, but nobody wants to be sold. And so for millennials, it's just an extreme reaction to that. So you have to allow millennials to be educated, and they like to do research. And so you just have to understand, no different, I don't care what area of sales, we're all in sales. An accountant is selling accounting services. A doctor is selling medical services. So whether you're a non-selling professional or a selling professional, we're all selling something, right? And when it comes to sales, the human nature of the brain will deal with people who are similar to them and makes them like them and trust them. And frankly, you know, not from a political perspective, but it's why Donald Trump is doing so well. Whether you believe in what he says or doesn't is irrelevant. The fact is that 93% of communications is tonality and body language, and CNN even said it last night. He's now the angry candidate. I've been saying it all along. People are buying into his anger.
Mm-hmm.
They're angry, and so they're feeling similar to him. They're starting to like him and trust him and vote for him.
You've got the millennials, you know, you're working with, you've got a good recipe. So how do you, as the leader of the company, as the mentor, as the coach, when the millennial that doesn't come up to the expectation of what the task is, the old management style is to say you're wrong, you know, go fix it. What's the coaching style that you use to get them back on track, to tell them this is, let's adjust this vision a little bit of what the goal looks like?
So we help them clearly define the goal in the beginning.
Okay.
So they're not really looking so much as to, especially in their earlier employment days, right? As they progress, because millennials will look, typical millennials stay about 2 years on the job. Right, where the generation before them, Gen X, would stay 5 to 7 years. Us baby boomers, we just never leave. Right, you can't get rid of us. Right, so right. We stick around forever. So, for a millennial to stick around more than 2 years, then you got to have growth there. So when I spoke on this panel this morning about millennials, and it was, you know, right downtown at Broward College, and one of the questions that I was asked was, you know, when you're dealing with these millennials, there was a magazine, he said, you know, we pretty much have one way of doing things, so there's not really opportunity. And I said, well, to me, that's what the issue is, that in your mind, you believe there's only one way to do it. And when you start with that premise that we have this figured out, that's when you're in trouble. So, you know, we have strategy sessions to figure out what the goal is. Right?
So that sounds like the old, this is the way we've always done things mentality. That just doesn't work anymore.
Correct. No, you're absolutely right. That's the issue. That is exactly what the issue is. Right? At the end of the day, if you do not get out there and think about things differently, right, and be willing to understand that you don't know what you don't know. It's the hardest thing to accept, especially for entrepreneurs and CEOs who have huge egos, right? But I spent a lot of money with a life coach, and here's what I learned from the life coach, which is incredibly, incredibly valuable. It's to stay present. We all get the same 86,400 seconds a day, and I don't care what your belief system is, that's your gift. Nobody gets any more or any less. And if you go the past, you'll get sadness and guilt, and it's over with. There's nothing you can do about it, so close the book. You want to pull a lesson forward? Fine. If you go the future, you'll get fear and anxiety, and 90% of what you're worried about will never happen. Your control over the future or anything else in life lies in the moment. So you do the best you can do in the moment, and then we have to get over our egos, and we have to let go of outcomes and accept what happens was what was supposed to happen. When you do that, you can't stay present 100% of the time, but your stress level will come way, way, way down.
This is excellent insight. You know, I really, believe it or not, our segment is nearing the close, a little less than 2 minutes, or a little over a minute, actually. And I think Joe, you've shared some wonderful insights, and I definitely it's a conversation I hope we're able to continue, perhaps even with you coming back on the show, because
I would come
this
on
is
as
valuable.
Often as you would like me to.
I love it. And so we've got just under a minute. I noticed in your bio, you're somewhat of a wine connoisseur. So do two things for me. What's your favorite wine that I should go out and buy? And how do we get a hold of you on social media and so people can find you and more information about the Epi Group?
Not a problem at all. So as far as wine goes, my friend Michael Weiss, who's had a wine education at the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park, New York, which is the largest culinary school in the world, is where my wine education comes from. What he says that you could drink the most expensive bottle of wine with someone you don't like,
okay,
and you will just not like it. You could drink the crappiest bottle of wine with someone that you really care about, and it'll taste great. So what I will tell you is anybody can make an expensive bottle of wine that's great. If you make a bottle of wine under $20, I'll give you one. Just
Joe, I do apologize. We're going to have to end the show. I will forward on all of your social media links to our listeners. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Some interesting facts about people. If someone is lying to you, they tend to look up and to the left. A mythomane is a person who believes something is true when it isn't. You share your birthday with at least 9 million other people in the world. And 6.5 million people in the world have never seen or used a telephone. Boy, that would sure simplify life. What's a word that means yearning for the good old days? Hesternopothia. People with blue eyes are better able to see in the dark. In a lifetime, an average person walks a distance of 5 times around the earth. Women from Senegal spend 17 hours a week collecting water. Maybe I don't yearn for the good old days after all.
It's Margin Neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my new app, Too Funny for Words.
We often ask, is that all there is? Why is this happening to me? Why am I always broke? How am I going to survive this mess? Then join Dr. Geraldine Tegeloff for Nature Spirits Speak, 7 p.m. Tuesday evenings on toginet.com. Geraldine is a metaphysician, nature intuitive, and prosperity coach who shares with you how she went from totally broke to living what she would call her perfectly prosperous life. Through the combination of a wealth of metaphysical knowledge and her amazing ability as an intuitive, Geraldine brings to you the secrets of her magical journey of healing emotionally, spiritually, and financially. As with the ancient seers and master teachers, Geraldine has a unique gift of being able to connect to the simple yet profound messages brought to us by Mother Nature, and happily shares these through Today's Note to Self on her webpage, naturesspiritspeak.com. If you need help with your journey, why not connect with Geraldine during her show, Nature Spirit Speak, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Howard Fox, the host of CEO Spotlight Radio. I have to work on my timing because we just ran out of it with Joe on the previous call. So check him out at the Epi Group, www.theepigroup.com. He's on Twitter as well as Facebook. So definitely check out Joe. Lots of great insights. But right now we're going to continue to heat up the airwaves because I have another guest who is in another warmer place in the world. I am so pleased to introduce to you Jerry Leary. Jerry is on our show calling from Virginia Beach. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Much. It's a pleasure to be on it for you.
Excellent. And now, Virginia Beach, we're getting a snowstorm coming our way in Chicago. How are you guys doing?
We're doing so far so good. We're probably in the 50s, but right now we have a severe thunderstorm coming up from Rocky Mountain, and it's going to be hitting us sometime here very shortly.
All right. And, well, so you guys take care then.
We've got the chainsaws ready.
All right. That sounds good. Well, that's the perfect business to be in, because tell us about Lawn Pro and what you've been doing.
Well, I started this business 36 years ago. Basically, I was with a company and planned on retiring. I was approaching, I guess you would say, 40, which is not a good age for a lot of people to lose a job, and almost lost the house. I was unemployed, for I was overqualified, and a year and a half sitting around trying to find a job, but I was overqualified, and I managed to go with a company in the landscaping industry and work my way up to marketing manager, and some of the procedures they had I didn't quite agree with, so after my tenure I left that and started from scratch. And my paycheck was when I got it, not every week, not every other week. So it's a different mindset that you have to accumulate in your brains as far as managing everything. But I wound up through a friend of mine. He bought my house and let me stay in it. And for 5 years, I started Lawn Pro. And after the sixth year, I bought the house back, and I've been in it ever since.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, you kind of describe the challenges of being a solo entrepreneur. And, you know, we never know when circumstance is going to come at us, and we have to take action and address those challenges. What has been the biggest challenge for you as a solo entrepreneur building, or not a solo entrepreneur, a small business owner, but building Lawn Pro into the successful company that it is?
Well, what happened to me was about 2 years ago, we've got a fleet of F-250 trucks, and I had it stacked three high with ice melt, and I decided to make it four high, and I shouldn't have done that. And the next day, my back just went out, and all of a sudden, I'm scratching my head. I've got people looking at me, and I cannot do anything. I can't get in a truck. I can't walk. I'm at a standstill. So I decided that it's time to make a major change. I controlled everything, payable, receivable, routing, scheduling, everything. And from that, what I did was I started pulling out certain tasks for people, and what eventually happened was I don't have to do anything anymore. Everybody does everything for themselves and for the company, and it relieves me of all the responsibilities that I used to take under. If I want to get up in the morning and do nothing, I don't. If I want to do some estimates, I can do that if I want, or I can just give it to someone else. But the whole thing is to trust the people that you're working for and let them show you what they can do. And I think you'll be surprised at the creativity that they have, and additionally to that, some insights that you had never thought about. In other words, don't control everything. Let them be the destiny for you, and at the same time, it gives them confidence to make decisions. Because I cannot be with everybody on a daily basis, and they have to make those decisions. Well, let's take it a step further. Let's let them make more decisions, and they're going to be smarter and better at what they do. Case in point, I think, is probably my youngest employee has been with us for 8 years. Most people go through people like a cold. It's hard to get people and stay with it. Well, how do you solve that? You take care of them, okay? You give them responsibilities, and once they finish that, you give them some more. And eventually, they feel that they're a part of something, not just a paycheck.
You know, you describe, and it's just really, it's a nice build on our previous segment, you know, with the employees, especially the young employees, is the importance of leadership, which is creating this vision and challenging people to come up with solutions, as opposed to managing, which is really telling people what to do, okay? This is what you have to do. This is how you have to do it. And so it's wonderful to hear a leadership perspective. And I'm curious, too, in giving your employees the opportunity to solve problems, to accomplish what needs to get done, how much coaching are you doing within that process? How do you, in addition to wanting to accomplish the task, share with them what your vision of what it needs to look like? How does that conversation take place?
Well, what I tell the people that work for me is they have a job for life. And that's the first thing that I tell anybody that's going to come on board. Of course, it's been, I think it's 6 or 8 years is our baby and with us. But I told them they have an opportunity and a job for the rest of their life if they want it. I give them that opportunity for a reason. Most companies cornhole them into an area where they can't expand on their abilities. And sometimes they don't realize the capabilities that they have. So what I do with my people is, and I constantly ask them, what can we do that makes this company better, makes your job easier, makes it more productive for you, and less sweat off of your brow? How can we do that? And you'd be surprised at what comes back that we've incorporated within our business operating regimen that makes their life easy. And again, this is a very time-consuming, sweat-orientated job, landscaping. There's nothing worse because you're out there at 30 degrees and you're out there at 102. So let's make this job easier. Let's use our head.
Do you see in the work, so this philosophy, this leadership orientation with your employees, and they're essentially embracing, you know, your vision of what success looks like, where you want to take the company. How is this translated in your business? I mean, do your clients see something different? They're not just seeing somebody here to cut the lawn. They're seeing somebody here that has an attention to quality work and can address issues that arise in the moment, as opposed to feeling like they've got to go back and talk to the boss. So
well,
what's that dynamic look like?
Yeah, I tell our employees and our customers at the same time that we're in this for the long haul. I'm not in with this customer for a year or 2 years. I'm with them for the next 10, 20, or 30 years. I have some customers been with me for over 30 years. I have never met them. I have no idea what they look like. What they do is tell me what they like and dislike, and that's what I key in on when we take care of their property, so that those aren't a obstacle to us continuing on with them for the long term. our average customer is 18.7 years with us, okay, which when I tell people, it blows them away. But you have to take care of the base before you can go to the next level. And the customers that we have give us referrals. And we just had one the other day. The customer said, didn't ask a price or anything else, I want you to take care of our lawn, simply because of a referral. This particular customer has been with us for about 13 or 14 years. They know we're going to be there. They know we're going to take care of it the way it's supposed to. It's going to look as good as it possibly can, and off we go from there. As I say, I've got very good, capable people, and I trust them to do their job as they trust me to write the checks and keep them afloat. And as I say, when you look at things, I am so proud to be able to take care of all the employees that we have and their families and their children and cut those checks to them, because it makes me feel good that I'm taking care of people just as customers are taking care of us.
You know, it sounds very much, this is a big family business. Now, we have just over a minute left. I am curious, when you're not working, Jerry, where do you like to go when you're not in beautiful Virginia Beach? Where are you taking your wife and family?
Well, I just got back, I think it's about a week and a half ago, I go down to Key West every year. I take my wife. I work 6 days a week in season. And she doesn't get the part of me that she should. And she gets 1 day a week, and that's really not enough.
Gotcha. And listen, in the time we've got left, you know, if we've got listeners in the Virginia Beach area and they looking for a lawn pro, what's the best way to find you? We've got about 30 seconds left. Sure. How do we get to you?
You can reach us at lawnpro, LAWNPRO. .org.
Excellent. It has been a pleasure, Jerry, having you on the show with us, and much success to you. I hope you weather that storm. This is Howard Fox, CEO Spotlight Radio. We're another great session. We're going to heat things up even more with our next guest, Fabrice Bonvasson, and we'll come back soon. Jerry.
Join us every Monday at 10 a.m. Central for the Johnny Rowland News, Guns, and Motorsports radio show, with commentary about current events, guns, shooting, and firearms issues, automotive and motorsports features, and special music presentations. Johnny is recognized as an international firearms authority and ballistic engineer, as well as an accomplished and widely recognized automotive designer and longtime TV and radio host. This program draws on Johnny's experience in shooting, motorsports, and as a professional entertainer musician. Don't miss Johnny Rowland News, Guns, and Motorsports. Infotainment at its best. Trust us on this one. It's a fun show. Every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Central. Right here.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Howard Fox, host of CEO Spotlight Radio. And we have been heating up the airwaves this morning with two wonderful calls from Joe Eppy and Joseph Leary. And now I am so excited to have with me a fellow Chicago native, though if you hear the accent, not really a native, but Fabrice Bonvasson. Did I get that right, Fabrice?
Absolutely. Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for joining me today on CEO Spotlight Radio. Fabrice, I usually love to start out with my guests. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about your company.
All right. So obviously, as you mentioned, I have a small accent. I'm not from Alabama, but from the other side of the pond, that is in France, and come from a family of manufacturers making lace in north of France until the 70s. And the rest of my life has been tied up to manufacturing. I work for some of the largest French companies that today belong to other groups. And I came to this country and to Chicago almost 20 years ago to follow my wife. And all my background is in business, international business, and manufacturing related, and management, human resources. And I've been lucky enough to work in several countries at different management and executive roles, and in various functional role as well. So HR, finance, accounting, control, and even interim CEO in particular in this country.
Now, do you,
regarding our business, we started in 2002, this FB International LLC, a consulting firm specialized in international business development. And we work essentially with small and medium manufacturers from the U.S., from overseas. It goes both ways, and not necessarily from France or Europe, but other places as well. And we do the best we can to help our companies, our clients, to grow their business wherever there's an opportunity for them.
Interesting. And, you know, the idea of a foreign company coming into the United States, or a U.S.-based manufacturer going to another country to set up an operation, I think it sounds like there could be challenges on both sides, and I think opens up a lot of lines of questioning in my mind around, you know, how can we, you know, because each of our cultures, we have certain ways of doing things. So what are some of the challenges you see? Let's talk first about the American company. You know, it wants to go into another culture to set up a shop. What are some of the challenges that you see that they face that you would work with them on?
First of all, international business, as I used to say in my workshops, is not for lazy mind. What that means is the first and foremost challenge is preparation. That requires a lot of readings, a lot of studying, eventually investigations, traveling, and so forth before going anywhere. Why? It's because international business is very expensive and can be very costly if you don't prepare your carefully your investment. The second thing is in international business, there's a lot of challenges, but they are, to be real and very realistic. Starting a new subsidiary or getting into a new market is like having a new baby, a new startup. You need to cover all the bases to make sure that you are as diligent as at the time when you started your own business or your first office or first you know, plant and things like that. Why? It's because it's a new environment, and you need to cover all the bases and understand how this market fluctuates, lives, and changes every day. So it takes a lot of energy and time and usually resources to be successful overseas. And last but not the least is patience. You need to be patient. In average, you'll see that to be successful in a foreign country, you need to wait at least 2 to 3 years before seeing a genuine first profit when you start from scratch.
When you have the, say, a small manufacturing company here in the U.S. wants to go overseas, is there a, I don't know, just is there that one nugget of advice? I mean, you talk definitely the preparation, but in your experience, because you've been doing this for many years now, is there, especially the small manufacturers, is there some nugget that really, you know, it's maybe it's difficult for them to grasp, and but you're really, as you're coaching them as well, you're advising, consulting with them, is there some nugget that you really feel it's essential they understand before they make that commitment?
The biggest nugget I can give you and share with you and your audience is talking advice to the CEOs. I haven't seen yet a company successful overseas where the top management, starting with the CEO and his board, supporting and being committed to the international development. In other terms, if the CEO and his team is not sold on the validity of a market or on the strategic orientation of the company towards international markets, any tentative will be useless, because at some point there will be disappointment, and based on this, using the numbers to make the decision to pull the plug at some point of time. So the biggest nugget and advice for all the CEOs who are interested in the international is to be themselves prepared to learn more about some markets and how to do business overseas, so that they become totally comfortable in making the decision from the top down of going international, so that they will be fully committed to provide the support needed by the team to succeed in other markets.
So some of the key words that I'm hearing is certainly the research. The CEO, the board, they need to do their research, their due diligence up front to know what they're getting themselves into. The communication of the leadership in the organization to, here's what we want to do, here's why we want to do it, and then seeing the commitment of the organization as a whole or as a leadership whole, we are committed to going forward and doing this. Does that sound about right?
Pretty much, yes. You know, for example, we went through the Great Recession from 2008 to, for some, until 2011. We went through the crisis, I would say, well prepared, and we saw a shift, a radical shift in our clientele and our markets, and because we serve two types of markets. One is the companies, the manufacturers themselves, and government organizations who organize trade missions, inbound, outbound, and seminars, or also give us some mandates to do some market studies. And what I've seen is that during the recession, a lot of company CEOs were so desperate for business that they wanted overnight to go in a different country, in a new country, and try to sell their products over there, because at home the market was shrinking. That's not the best. It's too late. And another, I would say, not idiom, but the line that I use very often when I talk to my clients and all the CEOs is, you know, when you see companies or competitors from developing countries, who today are not so developing countries, they are fully developed, like China, Korea, Taiwan, and so many others today, it's going to be too late for you. Why? It's because if these countries have the resources to come to compete on your turf in this country, that means that most likely they have already a stronghold in their own market. And just because you didn't see them coming, you didn't go after the market and compete against them while they were still smaller and vulnerable in their own market. So it's tough to compete when you have a competitor that has a price advantage, for example, at least for a couple of years, and a solid base market share to support their development in other markets including the U.S., Canada, and Europe as well. It's the same.
Interesting. Well, Fabrice, we're nearing the break time. We've got about 3.5 minutes left. Let's shift gears just a little bit. We'll lighten things up. You know, you've been in Chicago for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not working, what do you like to do? What keeps you motivated, keeps you going, energized?
I love Chicago. I've visited a lot of places around the world, big towns, small towns. I think that the quality of life that we have in Chicago is fantastic, if not the best. And I enjoy every bit of the city and the surrounding areas. From the northern suburbs, I was last week in Waukegan, where great things are happening. I spent almost 4 years in the Southland, all the way to Money and University Park, working with CEOs and manufacturers on a program helping job seekers to start a career in manufacturing for CNC and some other things. I know also the western suburbs, the northwest suburbs, so I love to discover every bit of the Chicago region. We love also enjoying the parks and the museums, and the community is so fantastic. We used to sail also at the yacht club and as a crew and enjoying the summer in the city. So there's so much, and as you know, I keep my foot into some volunteer activities, helping people in job search with the St. Chrysostom Employment Council via also the CTC, the Career Transition Center. And that's my third year as the president of the International Trade Club of Chicago.
Excellent. Listen, we've got just under a minute left, Fabrice.
Uh-huh.
And I know we're going to bring you back after the break. What's the best way to find you and FB International? What's our social media?
The fastest and the most efficient way to reach me and to reach us is through the website at F as in Frank, B as in Boy, INTLLC.com.
Excellent. We're nearing our break. Fabrice is going to stick with us. This is Howard Fox, host, CEO, Spotlight Radio. We are nearing the home stretch here. Hope we've had some great discussion. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met one of those people who just can't be stopped? It's like they're unstoppable.
Yeah, I have.
Me too.
What's their mystique?
Nothing stops these people.
Don't stop.
Each week, join Coach Frankie Picasso for Mission Unstoppable, where you'll meet some of the most amazing people. They've accomplished their goals despite insurmountable odds. They beat adversity, physical hardship, and traumatic events, and emerge triumphantly. They're people just like you and me, and they're winners. Are you unstoppable? Join Frankie Picasso every week for Mission Unstoppable and learn how.
Stop.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Howard Fox, host of CEO Spotlight Radio, the show where we interview guests, CEOs, founders, owners of small, mid-sized companies. We want to hear what makes them tick, how they lead and inspire their staff, their contractors, their clients to go beyond their comfort zone. And I'm really excited that Fabrice has agreed to stay on with us for this final segment. I think in this whole international marketplace, either going overseas or companies coming in, there's lots of insights that can be picked up. And so, again, Fabrice, thank you for staying with us here today.
Thank you, Howard, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. So, Fabrice, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about the challenges and the work that, you know, FB International is doing to help the local companies go overseas and some of the lessons learned. I am curious, in order to accomplish this work that requires a team, and as the leader of your organization, you know, we either, you know, what does your organization look like? Is it the employees? Do you use contractors, consultants? How do you accomplish what is really a complex series of tasks and to really get that, you know, get the ultimate goal of setting up a shop somewhere else accomplished?
I think that you just mentioned the magic word. It's complexity. A few minutes ago, we were talking about the challenges that the company has to face in developing, going in, abroad. It's one of the foremost challenges, which is the main reason that I'm excited about what I do every day, is the complexity. There's not one press button solution to international business. It's multiple things from multiple sites, different sites. So you need to be able to offer services based on the structure that is flexible enough to adapt to any situation or any request. Because, you know, when a client comes to us and say, "I need you," it's never the same. Each company is different. Even if they are in the same segment or same industry, they will have a different request or different needs. So in order to keep my firm, FB International LLC, as flexible as possible, we are using exclusively contractors who have at least 10 years of experience in their field that I worked with in the past, that so I can trust them and they can trust me. It goes both ways. Or people that some of my former experts or colleagues referred to me. And like this, I developed along the years a group of about 15, 20 experts, highly experts and recognized in their field for their expertise and experience that I can solicit and eventually, if they are available, work with when we need it.
Okay. And as you bring in these contractors, I mean, you have a leadership style. How would you describe yourself as a leader from a behavioral perspective, personality perspective? What's your style?
My style is really based on what you learn through, I would say, highly competitive sports practice. I'm lucky to come from a family that represented France at two Olympics, the one in Atlanta and the ones in Sydney. And I know what it takes to get to that high level. So everything is based on team players. I mean, it has to play as a team. Yes, as a leader, I understand the expectations, and I signed the contracts with the client, so it's my name at the bottom of the contract. But once I have the direction from the clients of what they need and what we need to accomplish for them, then I share it with the team, and this is what we have to do, and we go. I don't do micromanagement. That's why I work with experts, people who have enough maturity to be autonomous, deliver on time, so they can be free to manage their time the way they want. I know that as a good professional, if they want to take off 1 week in the middle of a project, I know that everything will be taken care of before they leave, which is not, it cannot be the case when you hire someone from high school or from college, because they still need mentorship, education, which I got along the years in my previous experience.
So, you know, trust, you know, team play, being team players. What are some of the other challenges that you face that maybe things are happen that you don't expect, you know, when it's coming to assemble this team and really set out to accomplish the work for your clients? What are some of the unexpected experiences that you've kind of had? What kind of lessons learned?
I got to tell you, never been disappointed on picking up the contractors. It's the unexpected, I would say, events are coming from the clients. For example, a client working with us on a cosmetic project, and my contractor having over 17 years of experience in the field, knowing the who is who in the field in distribution, and some heavy players in the country, and being told by our customer to take on the project as it is, for the product as it is, without any documentation on the formula or the benefits and to support the claims. So in other terms, that discredited the validity of the product and therefore the project, and we had to terminate the contract because we could not do our job as experts. We were told by an expert to what to do, what what they wanted us to do, and we cannot do that. So
you know, you just shared something that I think a leadership team is not always comfortable doing, is firing their client. Because you know
firing.
It goes against...
You need to explain, you know, in that case, you need to make your case, a very strong case in that case. And every time we had to do this, it was the same. We had to make our point of view as experts. If they hired us, there was a good reason. And therefore, if they don't listen to us, because obviously we need to provide the best solution for them... if they don't listen to them, to us, then we have to make a decision. And sometimes, as you said, it's not always easy, but you need to be at any point of time. You need to be ready to walk away if you do have, as I have, strong values in terms of ethics, respect, and honesty.
Ethics, respect, honesty, I mean, our shows last week, we brought up some work by some of the leadership scholars, and you know, honesty is always the number one value that we look for in a leader, and that actually sets the precedent for others that are a part of your team. They need to feel that you are honest and truthful. That's wonderful to kind of hear that again. What if looking back in the clients that you've had, what do you think they would say about you? What would they say about you? that was the gotcha question there, Fabrice.
I'd like to know, although, you know, the best way to imagine what they say, because I wouldn't put words in their mouth. Right. It's either, you can read, some of them wrote some nice notes of endorsements on my LinkedIn profile. They are all genuine, by the way. I never wrote anything for anybody, and I never asked anybody to tell them something specific. So all the recommendations, endorsements that I have on my website, on my profile in LinkedIn, are genuine. So that's one. The second is, in the last 10 years, we have had a lot of more and more, the majority, in fact, of our clients are repeat clients, meaning anywhere from 2 to 4 years. So as an indicator, I think that is a good sign. They seem to be happy to work with us. And the latest is a client from Belgium. We have helped in Chicago for 3 years. And they sent me a note last week and say, hey, Fabrice, we are happy to, with your services in Chicago, can you do the same in Mumbai and Beijing? And they wanted, obviously, this last week.
Excellent.
So
I mean, that's...
We were exchanging later than this morning about this, how I can help them over there. So that's, I would say, the feedback that we have I can share with you.
And I appreciate that. I think any company, any size companies, you know, repeat clients, that is testimonial to the work that we do and the fact that they trust us to come back to us and do it again. You know, we're just under 3 minutes to go, and this is an excellent conversation. Where do you see you taking your career in the next 5-10 years?
Oh, that's a very tough question, Howard, because, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones. I live every day my passion, and I do what I wanted to do all my life. I have my own business. I have my own activity in the field that I love, and I work with wonderful people, and I meet every day new people. I learn every day. There's always something new to learn or to do. So I don't see myself going anywhere. The projects that we have already secured enough business for the next few years. So life is good, and I just...
Excellent.
Do I want to grow? Yes. With a small core team, yes, and provide more services. I don't want to be in the spotlights in the newspapers. I don't want to do advertising. I want to keep a low profile so that we can keep focusing on serving our clients the best we can.
Excellent. And listen, we are nearing the end of the show. Time has flown by here. Great. And so repeat again for our listeners, what's the best way to find you, Fabrice?
The best way to reach me and to reach us is through our website at F as in Frank, B as in boy, intllc.com.
Excellent. And you're on LinkedIn. You mentioned that earlier. People can connect with you on LinkedIn and
Absolutely.
Your Twitter. So definitely check out Fabrice. And anything, if you've got needs in the international community or have ideas of where you want to take your business, Fabrice is the guy you want to chat with. It's been absolutely a pleasure to have you on the show. This is Howard. If you want to find me on social media, www.foxcoaching.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can look at foxcoaching.inc. This has been an hour that has just flown by. It's so hard to believe, but lots of great information. We've had small business owners. We've had individuals, entrepreneurs who bring on contractors. Lots of great insights. And I hope you enjoyed today's show. Today's coaching session is over. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Howard, and have a great day.
Thank you. Fabrice.